Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, Minister of Crossville Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation by Zion at the Crossville in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 2, 2016, or it is Chishlu 3, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day may I will ever forget. After we had wandered in darkness away, Yahshua, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend he met the need of my heart. Settle this telling with joy I am telling, he may all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, where at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born to the Spirit with life from above, into Yahweh's family divine, justified freely through Calvary's love. No, all the standing is mine, and the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now the hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. That is because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings eternal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, when at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Part 18, Yahweh's covenant with Abraham. Let's continue our study. We're going to read from Jeremiah 34, and we're going to start with the first verse. It says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth of his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem, and against all the cities thereof, saying." Now, folks, this is a type of this here Zechariah 14 prophecy. here in these last days, where all nations are going to be gathered again against Jerusalem to battle. And antitypical Nebuchadnezzar, George Bush Jr., was given the commission, no doubt, as antitypical Nebuchadnezzar to start the ball rolling and getting all nations to come against Jerusalem again these last days. And we had that 9/11 around 15 years ago. The blowout of the Twin Towers there in New York, that was the beginning of readying all nations to come against Jerusalem to battle. That put the prophecy in motion. So now here we are. Says in verse 1, Jeremiah 34, let's read again. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Yahweh, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth of his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities thereof sin. And I bet I can go find a cross reference here. And if I bet, I almost guarantee that it would probably take me to Zechariah 14 to show you the comparison. And don't give me a cross reference in Jeremiah 34, verse 1. It does not give me a cross reference. But I'm going to Zechariah 14 now, and I'm going to read verse 2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Yahweh my Elohim shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now that's a very key verse there. There are a lot of folks involved here in this coming. This says, and the Yahweh, I call it, says, and the Lord my God. But actually, this is talking about verse 4, and his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives. Whose feet? That's our Savior's feet, Yeshua. And all we have to do to confirm that, there's a prophecy there in Acts chapter 1 that talks about, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? It says, and while they look at Acts chapter 1, verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Yahshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Alright? So you go to Zechariah 14 for the prophecy on this coming. And it says that verse 4, Zechariah 14, and his feet shall stand a dip on the Mount of Olives. And then it says verse 5, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach unto Azel. Yea, you shall flee like as you said, from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Yahshua, my Savior, shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now, isn't this amazing? He's going to come with all the saints. Who are all these saints? Okay. It's those that he's gathered out of all nations wherein they have been scattered. He brought them into the wilderness of people. We can go to Ezekiel's prophecy now on that, and we can read about that. It says in Ezekiel chapter 20, I believe. It says that, it's actually Ezekiel. Now in Ezekiel 20, it says, verse 32 and on, "And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries are served with the stone. As I live, saith the Yahshua Messiah, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you, and I will bring you out from the people." What people? Verse 32, it says, out from the heathen, as the families of the countries. Okay, he said, "I'm going to bring you out from them." He said, "I'm going to rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered, with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, with fury poured out." That means judgment. He's going to bring them out by judgment. "And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face." I'm going to bring them all and collect all of his people back together into one place again. "Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will plead with you," said Yahshua Messiah. This is the Son. "And I will cause you to pass under the rod." What is the rod? What does the rod stand for? Authority for the Yahweh's government. It's heavenly, heaven's government. That means the sanctuary system in the full operation, with all the holy days mentioned in Leviticus 23, all of the seventh-day Sabbaths, and the new moon Sabbath that comes once a month, and the Passover that comes once a year, and the week of unleavened bread, which follows the Passover. It's actually the Passover, it is the Passover week, the week of unleavened bread. And then you have the Pentecost. Then you have the Day of Atonement. The Feast of Tabernacles follows the Day of Atonement during the seventh month. You have all of those. That's what the rod represents. Authority for Yahweh's government to be put into full operation with the divinely ordained system of the true worship. "And I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." Okay. So it says, as an awful lot said there, "And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the countries where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh. As for you, O house of Israel, thus saith the Yahweh, Elohim, go ye, serve ye every one his idol, and hereafter also, if you will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name, and no more, with your gifts and with your idols. For in mine holy mountain, and the mountain of the height of Israel," now what's the mountain of the height of Israel? That's Mount Zion, right there at the kingly palace ground where Jerusalem is today. Said to Yahweh, Elohim, "There will all the house of Israel and all of them in the land serve me." There, and that's talking about the stranger, that's talking about the Gentiles, that talks about all races of people that are in the land. that has joined with these other saints from all nations that have joined with the Israelites. Okay, there will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblation with all your holy things. So that I will accept you with sweet savor when I bring you out from the people and give you all the countries wherein you have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. Okay, so this heathen are your Gentile people that has chosen to stay behind in their respective countries. And you shall know that I am the Yahweh when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country. In other words, and you shall know that I am the Yahshua, the Savior, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto your fathers. And there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have been defiled. And you shall loathe yourself in your own sight for all your evil that you have committed. And you shall know that I am Yahweh when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according unto your wicked ways, nor according unto your corrupt doings. O ye house of Israel, saith the Yahshua Messiah, moreover the word of the Yahshua came unto me, saying, Son of man, sit thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field. Okay, now what is that? That's Judah. Judah is represented in the south field. The 10 tribes of Israel that went north to Samaria, where they made their headquarters, in the top, they represent the north field. But Judah and Benjamin have stayed in the south, and at Jerusalem is their capital. Jerusalem is the capital for all 12 tribes, not just the Judah and Benjamin. But since Judah and Benjamin chose to stay at Jerusalem, the 10 tribes chose to go north and set up their idols and worship a strange god. Judah stayed behind, and they set up their services there at the temple in Jerusalem. And it says in Ezekiel 20:47, and say to the forest of the south, hear the word of the Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, or Yahshua Messiah. This is the Son talking. Behold, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. Talking about all of those that wouldn't be sanctified by laying a hold of Yahweh's covenant and coming into the bond of covenant. I read to you in verse 37, you know. It says, let's read that again. I will kindle the fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree. In other words, every green tree and every dry tree. The flaming flame shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Yahweh, have kindled it. It shall not be quenched. And said I, all Yahweh Elohim, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? Okay, now let's go back. Now I'll pick up Jeremiah 34 and see where we're at here. We go to verse 2. Thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, go and speak unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Okay, so that was Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Okay, and thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shalt surely be taken and delivered into his hand, and thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon. Yet hear the word of Yahweh, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith Yahweh of thee, thou shalt not die by the sword, but thou shalt die in peace, and with the burnings of thy fathers, the former kings which were before thee. So shall they burn odors for thee, and they shall lament thee, saying, Ah, Yahweh, for I have pronounced the word, saith Yahweh. Then Jeremiah the prophet spake all these words unto Zedekiah, king of Judah and Jerusalem. When the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish and against Azekah, for these defense cities remained of the cities of Judah. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh. After that, the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people. Here's that word covenant, which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them. And every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew or a Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Jew his brother. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them, any more than they obeyed and let them go. But afterwards they turned and called the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return, and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Therefore the word of Yahweh came unto Jeremiah from Yahweh's sin. Thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers. There's that covenant again. And the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, at the end of 7 years, let ye go every man his brother, and Hebrew, which hath been so unto thee. And when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearken not unto me, neither incline their ear. And you were now turned and had done right in my sight, in proclaiming liberty every man unto his neighbor, and ye had made a covenant before me, there's that covenant again, in the house which is called by my name, that ye turned and polluted my name, and charged every man his servant, every man his handmaid, whom he has set at liberty, at their pleasure, to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Yahweh had commanded them to be set free at the end of the 7 years, and then here they turn and cause every one of these people that had been set free to return and take up their place again as servants and handmaids. Therefore thus saith Yahweh, you have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty. You haven't hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty. Every one to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith Yahweh, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, there's that covenant again, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts of the princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf. I will even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of heaven and unto the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I will command, saith Yahweh, and cause them to return to this city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without an inhabitant. That ends Jeremiah 34. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 50. This is where we go next. It says, for the word that Yahweh spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by the Jeremiah the prophet, declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard, and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and in that time, saith the Yahweh, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Yahweh the Elohim. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves unto the Yahweh in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Now here's that covenant. It shall not be forgotten. Perpetual covenant. Now let's read that verse 5 again. They shall ask the way unto Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves unto the Yahweh in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to mountain, or mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Yahweh. The habitation of justice, even the Yahweh, the hope of their fathers, remove out of the midst of Babylon, and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be as the he-goats before the flocks. Why do they put he-goats before the flocks? They lead to slaughter. They don't really like the sheep. The goats don't like the sheep. Now, somehow the goats know that whenever they're called upon to join a herd of sheep, they usually know it's for a reason, that they're to be leaders. They're to lead the sheep to the slaughter. Okay. So that old lead goat, he'll just get up there in front of that herd of sheep, and he'll start for the slaughter pen. And just as soon as he gets to the gate of the slaughter pen, he automatically turns to the side. He won't go into that gate himself. He'll turn to the side, and he'll let the sheep go on in, and he escapes. Okay? So he's not just a scapegoat, he's an escape goat. He escapes the slaughter by turning aside before he goes through the gate. And the poor bad sheep, they just keep going. They don't go on to the slaughter. It says in Jeremiah 50 verse 9, for lo, I will raise and come to cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. And they shall set themselves in array against her, from thence she shall be taken, the heir shall be as of a mighty expert man, none shall return in vain, and Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith Yahweh, because you were glad, because you rejoiced, O you destroyers of mine heritage, because you are grown fat as the heifer of grass, and bellow as bulls. Your mother shall be sore confounded, she that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindmost of the nations shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of Yahweh, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall be astonished, and hiss at all her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow. Shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against Yahweh. Shout against her round about, she hath given her hand, her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is a vengeance of Yahweh. Take vengeance upon her as she hath done, do unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handeth the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one unto his people, and they shall flee every one unto his own land. Okay, so actually, Jeremiah 50, chapter 50 only has one verse in it that has the word covenant in it, and it's called perpetual covenant. How interesting. Okay, verse 17. We're dealing with the redemption of Israel now. Israel is a scattered sheep. Now, this is a latter-day prophecy for our time right now. So this is a present tense message. Redemption of Israel. Okay, Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him. And last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken his bones. Therefore, thus saith Yahshua of the host, the king of Israel. Now, we're talking about the son here, Yahshua, the son. When it says Lord of hosts, it's as much referring to the Son as it is the Father. And when it says the God of Israel, we know that Yahshua is the King of Israel. And he is, and he will continue to be the King of Israel. When was he established the King of Israel? He was established at the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. The son, Father and the Son came down together to visit Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and to make a different arrangement for them to live outside of the garden. And they had to have an immediate sacrifice for sin in order to continue on living. And so, Yahshua is the one that is designated to receive the offering for sin. So, that's where the plan of salvation was put into force, at the Garden of Eden. Yahshua became the high priest for Adam and Eve. He received their sin offering that day for their transgression. And Adam and Eve performed their sin offering the very day that they sinned. They were driven outside the garden, and it said that they brought their sin offering to the east gate of the garden, and that's all the further they could go, was to the east gate. Inside of the garden is where the temple of heaven was set up at. And Adam and Eve could only come to the east gate. They couldn't go inside that gate because that would go right in back into the Garden of Eden. So the east gate of the temple in heaven, when the heaven comes back down and is going to bring that temple again, when you go through that east gate here in the end time, you're going to go, the saints are going to go through that east gate. Because they no longer have to bring no offerings or sacrifices for sin or for any other reason. They're going to be sanctified holy. They're going to go through that east gate. Okay, and the Jews know this. The Jews know it. They've got an east gate right there in Jerusalem. And they've got it walled up. They've got it bricked up. Because they know the prophecy says when Yeshua, the Messiah, comes back to earth in these last days, that he is going to make his grand entrance through that east gate again. The Jews know the prophecy. And that's the reason why they bricked it up. The Pharisees are the ones that bricked it up. And the Pharisees were the descendants of Edom, Esau. Not Jacob. Esau, the twin brother of Jacob, represented another nation other than the Hebrew nation. And when Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, then he relinquishes his right then to be the progenitor of the righteous line carried down to the end of time. And so, Esau goes into mode of rejecting any prophecy and trying to block any prophecy that would bring a fulfillment to the latter days where Yahshua comes back. And he, and the type is right there in Luke 22, where he says that he rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. He did that in a type. Okay, well, that was a type. He's going to come back again, and he's going to lead his people through that east gate. I'll tell you one thing, that east gate, what's so ironic about it is, though, is that there is going to be, when the New Jerusalem comes down and sits up there on that plain that's going to be made after Zechariah 14, a war, the New Jerusalem is coming down, it's going to sit down there, and it's going to be adjacent to the old city, Jerusalem. It's going to be a new city, and it's going to have an east gate. And that east gate's not going to be walled up, and the saints are going to go through that gate. So there's a lot, folks, to be known about all of it. You have to follow it day by day. By the Yahweh's grace, I intend to do that on a daily basis and post this information on my website and advertise it on my ebook. I mean, on my Facebook, and I'm going to get me an account on Twitter and do the same thing. So Yahweh bless each and every one that hears these words on a day-by-day basis. Okay, Jeremiah 50. Verse 18, therefore thus saith Yeshua of hosts, the king of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. And I will bring Israel again unto his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and in that time, saith Yahshua, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Go up against the land of Marathon, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod, waste and utterly destroy after them, saith Yahshua. And I do according unto all that I have commanded thee. A sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction. Now, folks, this prophecy is make this fulfillment right today. And right here in the United States, Donald Trump is antitypical Cyrus, and he is fulfilling the prophecy where it says that Yahweh is going to raise up a great king, and he's going to have a great army, and he's going to he's in the land already, and he's in the land of Babylon, and the United States is a geographical location for this antitypical Babylon today to have its headquarters. And the headquarters of Babylon today is in two different places. It's at the UN, number one, notably, number at the UN, is its main headquarters of Babylon. And the secondary headquarters of Babylon is Washington, D.C. And again, Washington, D.C. may be the main one as yet to be discovered, a location for the Babylon headquarters. But nevertheless, they worked hand in glove with the UN in New York. See, Washington, D.C. is located in no man's land. They, their geographical borders is carved out of two states, Maryland and Virginia. And it belongs to one nation. Washington, D.C., a 10-square-mile area of ground carved out of two states here in the United States, and they are owned by the Catholic Church, the Vatican. They're the ones that orchestrated the carving out of that piece of ground, and it's designated as a Second Vatican. And it has our capital building there in Washington, D.C. It's patterned after the Capitol building in St. Peter's Basilica there in Rome. It's patterned after that. We've got the obelisk. Rome has got the obelisk at St. Peter's Basilica. We have everything patterned after that Vatican's pattern of their capital. So I call it the Second Vatican, and it's a nation within a nation, and that is Vatican City is a nation in Italy. It's a nation carved out of the land of the Italians. They're in Italy. 77 acres is a nation of its own, has its own autonomy. Washington, D.C. has its own autonomy. And it's called a royal city. Vatican, there in Italy, in Rome, Italy, is called a royal city. London is called a royal city. And no doubt, if we only knew the truth about it, Brussels, Belgium is also called a royal city for the Euro nations. London is called the royal city that rules over the British Isles and the Commonwealth of Britain. But Rome, Italy, the Catholic Church, the Vatican rules over the Western Hemisphere, and really all over the world. So London, royal city, is subservient to Rome. Washington, D.C., the royal city, is subservient to Rome. Brussels, Belgium, that is the headquarters for the Euro nations, is subservient to Rome. All nations are subservient to Rome at this time. The Muslims are trying to come forth, and they have come forth already, to make even the beast, which represents the Catholic Church, subservient unto this woman, Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17, that rides the beast and controls the beast and owns the beast. Okay. It says in Jeremiah 50, verse 22, it says, "The sound of battle is in the land and of a great destruction." Well, that sound of battle is in the land right now, here in the United States. And the sound of battle is in Europe, in that land. And the sound of battle is definitely in Israel, in Jerusalem as the headquarters. And now keep in mind, Jerusalem is your first royal city ever on the face of the earth. So how many royal cities do we have in the United States that is designated? It would be Jerusalem, it would be Brussels, Belgium, it would be Vatican City, it would be London, England, it would be the United States, is Washington, D.C. Royal cities. Okay, so you got at least five royal cities that are vying for the supremacy of the world. Okay? Now, to have their headquarters, and I forgot about the Illuminati that has their headquarters up in Normandy, Maine. I believe it's where it's at. I may be wrong on that. But the Illuminati, and they're vying, and they are the secret rulers of the whole world. Their influence and all through their, they control all the occults of the world. And your dark underworld occults, secret organizations, they are the ones that are really controlling the affairs of all nations. And their president is Lucifer, Satan. And then the Black Pope is under him there in the north. And then Pope Francis is under the Black Pope. So Pope Francis is the third person in charge of this earth's nations. Now, Lucifer is number one. He's invisible. The Black Pope is visible, but he's only known to those that he rules over directly out of the north. Up in Norway, Sweden, those Scandinavian countries. And then you have the White Pope, we call him, which is Pope Francis. He's the number three ruler. And then your number fourth ruler would then be Obama, President of the United States. Well, actually, I say Obama. It would probably be the president of the UN, United Nations, and then Obama. So he'd be the fifth at this time. Okay, so Obama's time is just about up. But Obama, since he's been installed by the UN as to be the ruler of the world, so he's not worried about anything. He knows that September of 2010 that the UN made him, no, 2012. I'll have to go check on it. They made him the ruler of the world. They had him crowned as the king of the world at the UN. And it was either September the 10th, 2010 or 2012. I'll go check on that later. But anyway, they made him the king of the world. And so Obama knows that he's already been crowned as king of the world, so he's not worried about the outcome of this election. But he will be after it's all over with, because he's going to find out just how far he's fallen short of that idea. But as we speak now, though, it says the sound of battle is in the land and of great destruction. Okay. So now Jeremiah 50, verse 23, said, "How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Yahweh." The Yahweh hath opened his armory. Okay, now get this. I said Yahweh, Yahshua, the Son. He is the king that has girded himself for battle. He's riding on that wild horse that's pointed out there in Revelation 19. He's riding forth on that wild horse. And it says, verse 11, Yeshua returns victorious. And in Revelation 19, it says, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Okay, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So now, Donald Trump, if he is truly this antitypical Cyrus that's fulfilling the prophecy found there in Isaiah 45, then we would have to then have a similar description of him at this time then, because Donald Trump is on the scene. And so let's go read Isaiah 45. Let's read verse 1. Thus saith Yahweh unto his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations. Before him I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. What are the two-leaved gates guarding? They're guarding the palace of Babylon. What are the two-leaved gates there around the White House in Washington, D.C.? They're guarding the antitypical palace of Babylon. Okay, so it says here in Isaiah 45, verse 2, this is the prophecy that Isaiah made concerning Yeshua and antitypical Cyrus Donald Trump. He says, I will go before thee. Who? Before Cyrus, antitypical Cyrus Donald Trump, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. And what is the key word that Donald Trump has labeled Hillary Clinton with? Crooked Hillary. Hillary Clinton represents the leader of these crooked places. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Brass and iron is not going to be strong enough to protect this palace of antitypical Babylon at Washington, D.C. It's just not going to be able to. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Oh, my. And did you know the treasures of darkness? That the shadow secret government that finances Babylon's exploits, they are in the trillions of dollars. Trillions of it. In secret bank accounts around the world. And what did the prophecy here in Isaiah say? He says, Yeshua is going to give the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places unto Donald Trump. Okay. That thou mayest know that I, the Yahweh, which called thee by thy name, Donald Trump, am the King of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake. Okay, now we represent this Jacob. I represent this Jacob today, even as we speak. I represent him. He says, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So there we have Cyrus, that was surnamed at least 140 years before he was born by the prophet Isaiah, to come forth in his last day. And then his contemporary, Donald Trump, he's also named in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. His name is also found, and that's his surname. Well, I say it's his surname. Yeah, that's his surname. Trump. Okay. So it says in Isaiah 45 verse 5, I'm the Yahweh, and there is none else. There is no God, in other words, there's no Yahweh beside me. I greet thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and that there is none beside me. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Yahweh, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Yahweh, have created it. Now he said, let righteousness spring up together. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say unto him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or unto the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. Now let's do that again. Thus saith Yahshua. This is the Son. Isaiah referred to him at least 46 times in Isaiah. About 23 times from chapter 1 to 39 and up to 40. And about another, I believe, 23 times from 40 through 66. He says, thus saith Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker. Who's Yahshua's Maker? The Father. Ask me of things to come, concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heaven, and all their hosts have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness. Who? He's raised up Donald Trump in righteousness. Oh, I know the world condemned him as, oh, he's an evil person. But no, he's a contrast to the evil person that he's running against, and that's Hillary Clinton. I have raised him up in righteousness. In other words, righteousness comes from the word of right doing. Simply put, it's an amplification of people that do right. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. Okay, what city? Jerusalem. Now, I didn't say he would rebuild my old city of Jerusalem. That's going to be apparently broken down, and it's already a whole lot broken down. It's going to be that new city. And that's pointed out there in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48, the outlay of that new city. And that's a lot of their prophecy to be fulfilled. And he shall let my captives my captives not for prize nor reward, saith the Yahshua of hosts. Okay. Folks, you know, we just run out of time on this study, but you know, I'm going to pick this right up where I left off. When I begin this new, my next study, it's going to be Jeremiah 50. And I'm going to start with verse 5 again. Jeremiah 50, verse 5. And I'm going to read, it's talking about the perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten, which we are going to be enjoined unto again today. All of the saints are going to be enjoined under that perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. This brings to close our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. Hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. Let the heavenly light shine through, a song that I've written. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful Yah if he hadn't created you. And you would not have known about his vast creation and all that he can do. So draw near unto Yah, remember to pray, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah in his mercy when he comes, and then we'll have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And Yah in his mercy when he comes, and then we'll have a heavenly home for you. Would not have known about you. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful Yah if he hadn't come down. He spoke the word of creation fight to come tonight. And y'all saw that his work was good, did it by his mind. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. And all in his mercy when he comes, the end will have the heavenly arm for you. Well, you climb up on a mountain and you look around. There's a green valley below. There's a moon up above, there's a shining bit low. There's a peaceful river that flows. There's the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and all that heaven can spare. And to think that this is just a glimpse of what's awaiting over there. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through. Now in his mercy when he comes, the end will have a heavenly home for you. Now in his mercy when he comes, the end will have a heavenly home for you.